I know we could continue that for quite a while, and it's awesome to see that, but we do have to get moving forward, right? So one thing I do love is, as I stand up here, it's funny, you get used to where people sit, right? But I'm noticing people moving around a little bit, and I think that's awesome, okay? So I noticed some people up in the balcony that usually aren't there, exactly, and I noticed there's people over here that usually sit over here, so it's amazing. But, you know, it's interesting to get different perspectives, and you meet different people as you sit different places. So I encourage you not just to have your spot in the pew, but as we talk about doing life together, that you branch out and get to know other people by sitting somewhere else. It's a great way to do that. And so as we talk about this series, as we continue to go through this, where we talk about doing life together, how do we live life together as the body of Christ in this place, sometimes just little things like that changes perspective and changes things a lot. I know that's hard for Lutherans to get out of the seat and move somewhere else, but it's a challenge today, okay? Now, as we get started, last week we started this series, and it's only a three-week series before we step into moving forward, but into a different series, but we are talking about how do we live life together, and how does Scripture show us, especially the model of the early church, show us how we are to live together here in this place as brothers and sisters in Christ. Last week we said one of the key verses is from Acts chapter 2, verse 42, where it states that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And there we see there are four key areas that they live life together and something that they devoted themselves to. And we said devoting yourselves to means making a commitment to it is what this was all about. It's actually a stronger than the word commitment, but it's actually you're committed with everything you have to this. And that is what? The apostles' teaching is first. That we concentrate on the teaching of the apostles. And why is that so important? Because that's the teaching that Jesus gave. And so that's what they concentrated on. They concentrated also on fellowship, which we're going to talk more about what that word actually means today. It's the word koinonia in Scripture. And we talked about it last week a little bit, but we're going to dig into that a little bit more today. And then also, breaking of bread, which is eating together. And who doesn't like eating, right? Everybody does. And there is something about sharing meals together that's spiritual. There's something about that of sharing meals together that is important. The breaking of bread can also be what we're going to have later as well, the communion that we serve here, that we share in that together on a regular basis. And then finally, to prayer. And as we think about this, the whole idea of koinonia is what we're talking about. And koinonia is being in agreement with one another, being united in purpose with one another, but also serving alongside each other. Koinonia is not just one of those things or two of those things. Koinonia is actually all of those things together. It's being in agreement with one another. It's uniting in purpose. And it's also everyone serving in some capacity and some way. And so last week, the key question we put forward was this. What would this vision and practice of Christian discipleship in community look like here at Our Savior's if we took seriously the call of the gospel in our context today? What truly would it look like if we did exactly what Acts suggests to us? If we actually focused on the apostles' teaching, we actually devoted ourselves to fellowship, which, by the way, devoted, again, means committed ourselves to fellowship, that we made fellowship with one another a priority, which means we continually gather together, and we'll share more on that, that we eat meals together and we pray. See, today, though, that sort of idea of fellowship almost takes on in the church the idea that fellowship is everything we do across the way there in the fellowship center. And if we do it there, that's fellowship. If we don't do it there, well, then it's not true fellowship. But see, fellowship is more than just coffee and cookies after service. Fellowship is a lot more than that. I mean, fellowship is actually getting together for spiritual purposes, for sharing the news that God gives us, for prayer, words of encouragement for one another. It's also talking about comforting each other and edifying each other. It's all kinds of different things that we can do. True fellowship is to be part of the body here at Our Savior's. having and sharing what we have with others as well, and working together and caring for each other. It's taking part and taking part together. Participation and giving to others. What we can actually do is really say that it's about relationship and partnership, companionship, and stewardship with one another. That's truly what it's about. And so you go back to this question and say, what would life here be like if we committed ourselves to that? And what would this community see about our Saviors if we all committed to that? It'd be an amazing thing. One thing we said, though, is if someone actually doesn't understand truly what this means, that truly Bonhoeffer said this as a quote, which we took away last week, and I heard from a few of you that you thought this was a tremendous quote, was that the person who loves their dream of community will destroy community. That means those who want and trying to create community as they want it to be, not as Scripture creates it, but this community that they want to have, the community that they want to make it to be, that if all we do is focus on our wants and our needs, we will destroy community. But the person who loves those around them will create community. Amen. See, it begins with love. The love of Jesus that is shared with us, that then flows through us to those that are around us. And if it begins with love and community starts with love and loving one another, then community is going to actually grow and increase. But if all we do is sit here focused on what I want for community and what I think it should be about, well, then suddenly it's going to be destroyed and community will never happen. And see, this is really what Paul is getting at in our text for today. He's talking about what is our attitude and what is our motivation. Is it myself and my wants and my needs? Or is it actually loving people and giving to them? Is it about others or is it about me? And that's the biggest challenge we have, is we tend to want it always to be about me. That's our human condition. And the only way that we can get outside ourselves is through the work of Christ in us. Amen. And through the work of the Spirit in us. So I invite you to pull out your Bibles. If you brought your Bibles with you, you can hold it up with me. We encourage you always to bring your Bibles to church because we do go into this. If you don't have a Bible, pick out one in the pew there. You can use that this morning. If you don't have one at home, we encourage you to take the pew Bible with you. That's your Bible you can use from here on out because we want you to have a Bible. So we're looking at Romans chapter 12 today. And Paul says so many things on Romans. If you're sharing with me the Bible study on Friday mornings, you know, we're up through chapter 11 right now. It's been a great study. We go through it one verse at a time, but today we're going to focus on chapter 12 of Romans. And we're going to hear how Paul talks about us as a living sacrifice, that that's what we are called to live. And that gets to the whole idea of what it truly means to actually live in community. So again, Romans chapter 12, and as a good pastor does, he waits till he hears the turning of the pages to stop before I move on, and I'm filling time until that happens. But we go to Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, and here's what we read. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Now, there is a ton within those 12 verses, isn't there? On what Paul is laying out for us as we live our lives as a living sacrifice in community with one another. That's what he's talking about. And today we hear him really talking about this very practical advice that he is giving to us. He's not interested in some theological debate here. What he's talking about is how do we live transformed lives daily as we find ourselves as new creations in Christ? How do we live this transformed life, and what does it mean? And how do we actually, by the transformation that is happening in us, know that Christ is alive in us and that we are participating in the body of Christ right here in this place? See, not one of us makes up the body of Christ. It's all of us together that make up the body of Christ. And all of us are called to live that transformed life so that the body of Christ can live to its fullest. And really what this involves, he's suggesting, is radical conversion. A transformation from self-centeredness to a Christ-centered life. One that is only given to us through the work of the Spirit in us. See, Bonhoeffer actually talks about this even more in the book Life Together, as we talked about last week. I mean, he gives a vision for what the community of faith is all about. And what he is saying it's all about, Bonhoeffer would say it's about giftedness, which supports what Paul just said. It involves community filled with a variety of gifts. A variety of gifts of service, of activities, of all kinds of different things. See, and as I look around this room and as I've worked with you in the time I've been here, I know there is a variety of gifts within this room. God gives each one of us different gifts for a specific purpose and reason. And see, ministry is all about us using those gifts to the best that we can. All of us in the body of Christ. Now, I use the word ministry, and I would ask you, what comes to mind when you think of the word ministry? Think about that for just a minute. I mean, the biblical vision actually contrasts with what most people think and our understanding of ministry today. In most of our contemporary churches, when you say the word ministry, what tends to come to mind is the term clergy or pastor or laity or lay people. And really, I think that's wrong, because what it suggests is that there's a division in the church. There's a division in calling, a division in qualifications and of work. While laity may involve certain aspects, well, I think actually we tend to think that the trained clergy is everything about the church. That is the ministry. And the problem here with that is that those people, those clergy members, are not everything in the church. I mean, this really creates a division in giftedness as well. It tends to stimulate this idea of a passivity and dependence. Passivity because we let the ones that are truly the staff or those that are ministers do everything, and then we allow sort of us to sit back and wait. And there's a dependence on those that are formally put in the church in ministry that we wait for and we depend on them before anything is done. It restricts the scope and the power and the credibility of the church and its redemptive work in this world, I would say. And it restricts us as a missional community, where clergy are expected to fulfill all the diverse tasks in the ministry. It's unrealistic, really. We look at this as gifted individuals, that they have to be natural leaders, skilled orators, capable administrators, compassionate counselors, wise decision makers, dispassionate conflict resolution, and also astute theologians. All of that in one package. And we expect them to be super Christians. It's true. It's no wonder that many clergy have become disillusioned, frustrated, and stressed out and burned out. See, Bonhoeffer actually gives a different vision of ministry, though. One that is congruent with the New Testament and the early church. One that is more than lay people and trained ministers. One that is actually incorporating all of us in the body of Christ, all of us working together, all of us transformed together into this new life of Christ, where each of us have our own gifts, and each of us are using those gifts for the betterment of this community that we live together, and betterment for the whole community as the kingdom of God is blessed by us. See, it is the church commune together. As the church and clerical services aren't just relied in one place, but are shared amongst all of us. That the body of Christ in the world is all of us as we minister to all of people in this world. And it's not just one person's job, it's everyone's job. See, as we look at this, we have to understand that we need each other. Christians need one another. God's word and the good news of forgiveness and reconciliation is what is shared by each one of us to one another. And when one of us is down, there are other people we need to come alongside and carry us forward. When one person is feeling low, it needs the community around them to encourage them and build them up and move them forward. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit to allow us to be there for one another, to pray for one another, and to care for one another. And to understand that the ministry does not hang on any one individual, but the ministry actually hangs on all of us together. And that all of us together are called to live life together in community, to bring the salvation message of the world to each other, but also to the world all around us. See, each one of us are bringers of the message of salvation to each other and to the world. Now, Bonhoeffer goes on and talks about some key ideas of what this means. And how does this actually play out? And the first is this, that seeking, claiming, and defending one's role and identity in a group over and against others sows seeds of discord in the Christian community. That we, as we live together, have to be careful that we're not seeking or claiming or defending our role or identity to the point where it's creating discord against others. This is important as we work in these ministry action teams that we are creating. That we don't have one individual who is putting their foot down on the ground and saying, this is what we're going to do. That they listen to the whole team and that we as a community and as a team work together to move things forward in this church. That we don't just sort of defend our position against what everyone else is saying. That when that happens, all it does is create problems. The second is this, that there's not self-justification or domination or force, but justification by grace, and therefore service should govern the Christian community. Each person's role and identity in the group ultimately serves the same overall goal. And what is that goal? Service. That each one of us is here to provide service to one another. And we don't do it through domination or force. That the Christian community is one that we understand that we have been justified and made right by God's grace given to us. And therefore, how do we live towards one another? We show them the grace as well. We live in grace as well. The next one he talks about is this, the discipline of the tongue. And I know in Scripture it says the tongue can get us in more trouble than anything else, right? How many of us have experienced that? I'll raise my hand, right? The discipline of the tongue is not saying all that occurs to you. I have a good friend, and I won't say who it is. He was a friend of me in seminary, and it was a big joke. He didn't have a filter between his mouth and his brain. Anybody ever know anybody like that? He would just say whatever came to his mind, and he would just spew it out there. There was no filter at all. And this is what it's saying, is that sometimes you don't just say everything that occurs to you. That it's essential as we live life together that you don't do that. That members of the body must learn to offer each other something that's different. That we do watch what we say. And sometimes I'm amazed that in other places in this world, you would never go to people and say the things that we say to each other in church. It's amazing sometimes. Sometimes we feel the freedom to just speak what we have on our mind that we don't realize how it impacts the people that we're speaking it to. But the discipline of the tongue is important. The next is the differences that exist among people within the Christian community are not incentives for talking, judging, and condemning others, but rather causes for rejoicing in and serving one another. That all of us are different. And even if someone is different than us, and maybe you think they're hard to get along with, we have to thank God for the blessing that they are. Because they are playing a role that is important in this community. That no matter who that is, we are called to live in Christian community with one another. And that we don't talk about this behind the back. I encourage you to look at Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18. And this is a key part of Scripture that is something that's important as well. Because as we live life together, we're going to have people that tick each other off, right? I mean, people are going to say stuff maybe with their tongue that makes us mad or that we take wrong. Or people are going to actually get us mad because of maybe the position they're taking or what they're doing, whatever it may be. And what do we tend to do when that happens? Hey, Nick, did you hear what happened? Do you hear what they said to me? And suddenly we start gossiping around, right? And we start sharing that with other people. And what does that do? It destroys that other person's credibility. It actually creates a very bad dynamic within the church. And I think in today's world, we are encouraged to do this because a lot of the TV shows out there are all about what are the rumors that are going on in this world today. And really, this suggests that we aren't supposed to be doing that. That we shouldn't be talking about other people or judging other people or condemning them just because they're different than us or act in a different way or speak in a different way. That we are supposed to be serving one another and rejoicing in who they are, which means if a difficult person is put in our lives, we don't cut them out of our lives. We learn to work with them one way or another. Matthew 18 suggests this, that if someone does you wrong, it says this, right at verse 15 on Matthew 18. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. You hear that? Between you and him alone. You know, this happens in our household. If Danny has a problem with someone in our house and comes to me, guess what I say? You go talk to them. I don't want to hear it. You go talk to Maya, you talk to Mom, whatever, okay? She never has a problem with me, so that's okay. So, you know, but you go talk to them. I don't triangulate. That's what it's called. I don't put myself in the middle. I tell them, you go talk to them. So next time, if somebody comes to you and says, do you believe what Pastor Goodwin did? You know what you do? Stop. You go talk to them. You go talk to him. You know what that elder did? Stop. You go talk to the elder. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear it. That is hard for us to do in this world, but it is what Scripture tells us to do. And then it says, it goes on and says this. If he listens to you, you have gained what? Your brother. If they listen to you because you've gone to them, suddenly you've developed even a stronger relationship. And then it goes on. But if he doesn't listen, then what do? You take one or two others with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. So you bring someone with you at that point if they don't listen. But I'll tell you what, most of the time when you go in front of somebody and say, look, that hurt me, and it's just between the two of you, guess what usually happens? Usually it's solved right there. And guess what? Then you've gained a brother and you haven't involved somebody else in your mess. But so much what we do is we involve other people in our messes. We start talking to other people about it, and it tends to create even a larger situation. So, next is this. In Christian community, every individual is an indispensable link in the chain. As such, each has a task to do, and all depend on depend upon the ministry of others. That each one of us has an important role right here in this place. Amen. And if you're not playing a role, guess what? Your link is missing. Amen. And so that means we're not functioning at the fullest that we could function in. In a Christian community, each individual is indispensable. That means that I can't say I don't want to work with that person. Because why? They're an indispensable link. We have to find ways to look past our differences and ways to work with one another. It goes on and says this as well, that the first service that one owes to each other in the community of faith consists in patient, active listening to the other. This is the beginning of love in the community. Active listening of one another. How many of us are good listeners? Some of you may raise your hand. It takes practice to learn how to listen, doesn't it? And active listening means listening, not trying to come up with what I'm going to say next. Right? Active listening is truly listening to try to understand what that person is saying, what they're feeling, and then telling them that you've heard them. It's hard. The second is this, the second service that each is to perform for the other in Christian community is that of active helpfulness. That even in the simplest and smallest ways, we look to be helpful. Not critical, but helpful. We don't try to deter, we try to be helpful. In whatever easy, simple way that may be, that you can provide that. And then the third is this, the third service consists of bearing others as well. Not sidestepping the burden that they have, but actually coming alongside them when there's a burden in their lives. That it's bearing that the Christian community shares in fellowship of Christ's cross. That when we know a brother or sister is hurting, we come beside them and bear that pain with them. And sometimes that doesn't mean we say anything at all. Sometimes when someone's hurting, the most important thing we can do is sit down next to them, put our arm around them, and just share in the pain of what they're going through. Sharing burdens. That's what we do. And that's living the love of Jesus and how we experience his cross in this world as well. See, all of this is reciprocal. That we share this with one another and we live this with one another. We are strengthened in offering ministry to others in the knowledge that we are being offered the same as well. That if we are burdened, we know someone's going to come alongside us so that then we can be alongside them when something happens in their lives. And this is all something that we share together. They were all able to love and care and grow together as well. And the one thing I want you to understand is that no one is unemployed in the church. No one. All of us have a place and a role in the ministry that is taking place in this world. No one is unemployed. Bonhoeffer actually says this, "The church does not need brilliant personalities, but faithful servants of Jesus and the brethren, and trust. It is determined by faithfulness with which a man or woman serves Jesus Christ, never by the extraordinary talents which he possesses." I love that. The church doesn't look, and God doesn't look for brilliant people or personalities. All he's looking for is faithful servants to serve him. That's it. And that trust is not something that is developed by some extraordinary talent that someone possesses. Trust is determined by how faithful they are in service to Jesus and his church. See, that is what we are called to do. That is what we are called to live as we live life together. And it is something that is only possible through the recreation that we are, the new creation that we are in Jesus Christ. And it begins with him. And it is something that continually is fulfilled in us through the work of the Spirit. It is continued in us through the work of Jesus in us and the body and blood that we receive here, knowing that we are forgiven and that we are set free. Free from the burden of sins in our lives, so that we are accepted by God and know that because of that acceptance, he wants us involved in his church and wants us involved as a family here in this place. And that's why my goal is that we don't create a church, but we create a family here at our Savior's that is ever living with open arms for anyone else to come into this family. No matter who they are, no matter how broken, no matter how burdened, but to come to experience what community is truly like in God's kingdom, which is so different than the world all around us. My prayer today is that that would be more and more each day what we become. In Jesus' name and to his glory, amen. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Well, dear Lord, we just heard a lot about what your true community is meant to be. And Lord, today we just ask, Lord, that you would allow us each individually to understand that we are a new creation in Christ, that you are working in us through your Spirit to transform us to be the disciples you wish us to be. And Lord, because of that, Lord, we know that we are called to serve here in this place and in this community. So, Lord, help us to discern the gifts that we have. Help us to understand that we are here to serve in any capacity and that, Lord, we are just here to help expand your kingdom in any way. And that, Lord, if there is trouble or strife between us, Lord, that we would go to each individual and talk. That, Lord, that we would understand that this is not one person's ministry, but this is the ministry of our Saviors, the church and the people and the body of Christ that are here today. So, Lord, help us to truly make an impact in this place and in this world to your glory as we magnify your name each and every day. We pray this in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.